is Lina Mirmont with my weekly program, Lina Live. I have another guest today whose life, no matter what she does, what she feels, what she thinks, rotates around the music. And God did give her a beautiful voice and a tremendous passion about singing. No matter what she does sing. And no matter what she wants, she does sing. I cannot imagine a better way to make my first very fresh introduction of this person with her individuality, her temperament, but most important, was her gift for singing. We're going to hear the first song, which has name More Than You Know, by Susan Lachlan.
More than you know, more than you know, man of my heart, I love you so. Lately I find you're on my mind more than you know. Whether you're right, whether you're wrong, man of my heart, I'll bring along. I need you so, more than you ever. I can do about it. Loving may be all you can give, but honey, I can't live without it. Oh, how I cried. Oh, how I sighed. You got time and said goodbye. More than I know, more than you ever know.
From the leader of a song and church with a jazz and cabaret, here with us to the MPBS, lovely talent of Susan Lachlan. Susan, how are you?
I'm very well, Elena. Thank you. And thank you for such lovely tribute.
Well, now we hear your real voice, and we like to know definitely more about you than this just first song. Of course, we will hear a couple of other songs as well. But just to start with, whatever Air suggests, music indeed was an intricate part of your life, along with your other creative talents, which we will touch going through the program. But let me ask you first, when and how did you perform for the first time, and what was your memory?
Well, I used to perform my brother and I used to love to perform in front of a mirror because we didn't have a lot of toys, and we used to get together and we'd sing. And then I joined a school program, and I wound up singing on the Dave Garraway show, which I don't even know how that happened, but it was a puppet show for Peter Pan and Wendy. And I was singing behind the scenes. And that was basically my first public opportunity to sing. And then I sang all through grade school. They'd have shows every year. And I was always selected to be the singer. And then in high school, the glee club. So that was my opportunity to sing when I first grew up, when I was growing up.
Well, when you've been singing, have you been in a position when you have to sing, or it was just from pure pleasure? And also, have you started singing, or it's literally from the God's gift?
Well, actually, I think I inherited some talent because my father was a singer, but not publicly. And a lot of times we had to sing because it was something that we were required to do at school, but I always loved doing it. It's like something that came so natural and came from my heart. And that's one of the main things that I've always expressed, that even though I'm singing from my voice, I'm singing from my heart.
There is a say that professionals play music and singing for the perfection, and amateur doing this for joy. I frankly do not see much of a borderline between professionals and amateur artists if the last group does it with true devotion. And I believe that if it comes from the heart, as you said, and having a genuine voice from Mother Nature like you have, there is no really issue much whether you're professional or you're doing this for pleasure. So my question in terms of a training actually was more of a curiosity, because whether you had a training or not, you're sharing your gift very generously with the world. And the question of the singing is so natural that probably you don't even feel sometimes difference when you speak and when you sing. So when you get very angry, do you feel that it's much easier for you to sing or to scream?
You know what? I think it's according to what the situation is. A lot of times, and I'm feeling upset, I don't start singing. But I know that if I go and I put the music on, it just makes my life so much better. And as I said, you know, I've had so many incidences where I needed to have something special, especially taking care of my husband for so many years with his illness. And I found music was so therapeutic because, you know, there were times he couldn't even function. And, of course, it would upset me that I couldn't lift him. And I put music on, and I saw him dancing. And we, like, danced to the table so I could give him his food. And he loved music also. And I did, too. And by me putting the music on and singing to him, it just made his life better as he went along, you know? And that's something I have to express as far as if I was angry at something, you know, I try not to scream, but unfortunately it does happen. And but in general, if I could have music around me, I'm happy as can be. I've always got my radio on in the car. I've got it on at home. You know, it's such an important part of my life.
You somewhat predicted my next question. And at your comfort level, could you share with us the most significant turning point in your life when indeed your music was as a consolation to you, to loved ones, and maybe to your friends?
Well, I have to say that when I first was asked to sing in the church, I was like, you know, really so thrilled and so happy, and I just was so dedicated to it, and it was like many years that I did that, and then it really made me extremely strong when my husband became so ill, because each week I would be out there singing, you know, any holy days, holidays, whatever it was, I was doing it. And we belonged to a lovely little church, and he looked so forward to going there, and it gave me tremendous strength. And as I feel, because it was singing songs in church, that God was the one who was guiding me with my singing at this point in life. And it just made me happy, and I was able to do what I had to do. And even when my husband passed away, before that he said to me, "You have to sing my funeral." And I couldn't even bear the thought of it. But you know what? God gave me strength, and I did it. And singing has been such an important part of my life, because I felt as though I did his last request, and that he went to God happy. I mean, I'm not trying to sound melodramatic or anything like that, but that's how things have happened in my life and have, you know, given me strength.
Let's reflect on these very personal thoughts, especially because it relates to such incredible, irreplaceable part of your life, many years with your husband. And I propose that we will hear the song which I believe called "I Can't Believe That You Are In Love With Me." And we will continue our conversation after that with Susan Lachlan, whose mind, soul, thoughts, and pleasure rotates around singing in her life.
I'm struggling, your kisses too. I never knew what they could do. I can't believe that you're in love with me. They can't believe that you're in love with me.
Because it was so uplifting and so beautifully arranged with the rhythm and certainly your intonation, and I would say beautiful idiosyncrasies of motifs and phrases, makes everyone truly happy when they hear and almost participating with you in your singing. I like to ask you about some other parts of your creative life. It is not a secret that number of talented musicians have some other sides and channeling their creativities in so many unpredictable areas, because of course imagination, fantasy has to be nourished from other sources. From what I know, Susan is not an exception, because she does have other talents, and she certainly does have some other very special creative work. And we will ask her what is the most special for her and where she feels it's her almost like a second best, I should say, or maybe even second guest in her life after her singing.
Well, there are a few, and I think what has become more important in the sense that I am an artist, and I learned how to become an artist out of necessity, because I just wanted to draw and paint, and I learned how to do it. And I did study with one of the Sawyer brothers, who was an artist, a famous artist. And I learned Chinese brush painting with another professor, Chen. And they're just beautiful things that I love to do. But I think what has manifested itself more is my ability to design and make clothing. And I did that for quite a few years. And again, I learned how to sew out of necessity. Because when we were children, my mom and dad were very young when they were married. And my father worked very hard to support us. So I learned how to sew because there were certain things that I wanted and I couldn't get, so I learned how to make them. And I worked with a woman who had like a sewing, I don't know what you call it, shop in her home, and they did piecework. And my job is, after school, I was just a kid about 8, 9 years old, and I used to go and help her, put them in rows of dozens and tie them up, and she'd pay me, and I would collect that money, and I would make go and buy toys for me and my brother and my sister. And but then as I developed through the years working for other people, doing special clients and stuff like that, I developed a very, very wonderful client, and it happened to be my son, who needed costumes because he wanted to be a professional wrestler. And I started creating his costumes. And some of them were absolutely so beautiful. And it's just taken itself so far that, that was the one thing that became like a public thing. Whereas my art, is just my art with me. But that became a public thing in the sense that, he wears my designs, my clothes that I make all over the world. And it makes me very proud that I have accomplished that also. And again, that's a natural gift from God. And, as a matter of fact, I made him, his latest pants had the dragon on them, and his name in Japanese, because he was scheduled to appear in Japan. And it was the same weekend as the earthquake and the tsunami, so unfortunately he couldn't go. But I'm sure he'll be going at another point. And so that's one of my biggest accomplishments as far as one of my talents, aside from the singing.
So if we will indulge a little bit in this part of your creativity, your sewing, if I could say, style, is that depends on the person's character? For example, your son you mentioned.
My son needed a certain type of clothes, so I had to create, like the tight pants. And at that time, when he first started, they wore these beautiful robes, so I'd make him these sequin robes. And one in particular was white sequin, and in the back, because his name is Tommy Dreamer, I put a big cloud in blue sequins and his name, Dreamer, on the back. It was absolutely beautiful, and a blue lining, and it was white. Oh, it was just lovely. So, that's how I kind of got started with doing something, like for a professional. And so I'm still, as I say, creating for him, and he's very happy about it. And I've done for a few other guys in the wrestling field, and as I say, I've done clothes for many, many people, but these happen to be, people that, my son, of course, very, very close to me.
Let's make a little bridge to your singing, and then we might come back to your other creative abilities, because you're a decorator as well, but we will have a little kaleidoscope of your talents. And let's go back to singing and talking about your many years of great devotion to church. where you're not only being as a leader singer, but you also probably developed certain new facets of your personal singing, if I'm correct.
Yes, yes. Well, I started singing as a result of being the lector, which meant, for people who don't know, you read the you're reading the testaments and stuff like that in the book, you know, from the Bible. And the choir director said to me, you know, I like your voice. Why don't you join the choir? And I just kind of, you know, wasn't sure. So I finally made that decision. And after I was in the choir for 2 months, they started what is called the Leader of Song Program, or in some places they call it a cantor. And, of course, cantor means, you know, cantare means to sing. And I started to be up there and get the congregation. You know, I'd announce the hymns, and they'd start singing with me. And that was the whole point, to have the congregation join you and sing with you, not just listen to you, because you're not there to perform. You are there to have them sing and pray with you at the same time. And that was, you know, just a marvelous, marvelous opportunity. And I went from that one church after 7 years. My organist asked me if I would come, because he was going to another church, and he asked me if I would join him. And I did, and I was there for about 8 years. And I absolutely loved it. I loved it. I dedicated so much time to doing what I had to do, because it's a lot of time. But I loved it, so I did it, and it made me happy. And as I said before, my husband just so looked forward to it that it kept him going, as well as me.
Let's talk a little bit about religion. Religion,
okay.
Every individual means a certain, very profoundly precious hope, mm-hmm. precious conviction. And in the most difficult time, a lot of people turn into religion. And not to get involved in a very deep philosophical vision of it, but to address the issue of connection between religion and art and music, one probably can agree relatively easily that there is no really separation between religion, music, and art. In fact, there is no secret that great giants from pre-Baroque, Baroque, Renaissance, and post-romantic epoch being nourished by religious subjects, and they've been greatly inspired by religion and history attached to it. I know that I'm not a religious person in conventional sense, but I have my own vision, my own feeling of it. And of course, idea of oneness, when you feel uncompromisably connected to something which is so importantly valuable for you in a spiritual sense, becomes really your main source of religion. Sometimes people call it as a higher power. My question is for you, to what extent you feel that in your soul and in your personal conviction, religion and music not only coexist, not only helping and aiding to each other, but what is the human impact this alliance between music and religion makes in you as an individual?
Well, I think that, first of all, I grew up always close to the church. We lived on the same street as the church, and I was always involved in some things going on at the church. We were there for every holy day, every Sunday, and we sang. And I always loved it. I always enjoyed it immensely. And because I so strongly believe in God, I honestly feel that if you are devoted to any religion and you believe in God, that's your choice, okay? And, you know, not one thing stands out above the other, because it's your belief in God that is important. And the reason it's important is because God gave us life and God gave us talent. So many people don't even realize how much talent they have or could develop because they never tried. So being exposed to so much religion and music, I think it brought me along. And I would say at this point in life, I would have felt wonderful if I had been able to learn how to play piano, which even now I would love to learn to do. And I'm thinking about it because I think it's a wonderful thing to have that talent also. Okay? And my whole life has been centered around the church. And as I say, I'm a strong believer that God is with me and he's watching over me. And that's why I'm hoping that he leads me to where I have to be in my life.
We're going to talk about your transformation as a person, because to go from church environment, you're definitely leading role for many years as a leader singer, I would call it. And then suddenly we see cabaret, jazz, very coquette genre, and it looks as if you feel just as comfortable as if you were in the church.
Well,
preference
perfectly, I'm sorry.
What are you hiding behind this transformation? We'd like to know.
I'm telling you, actually, that I always loved to sing. And I would sing anything. I loved to dance. And I never got the opportunity to sing publicly in the sense of doing it at church, okay? Because when I was growing up, if I wanted to be a singer, my father would not permit it, okay? I had to go to school, and I had to become a married woman, okay? So it was not... there was not a choice that I could go just go off and, okay, I want to go to Hollywood. No, that didn't happen, okay? So getting the opportunity to sing publicly at the church was wonderful, but I could always sing all the popular songs. Like, I love the Rod Stewart stuff, Frank Sinatra, to listen to all the time, you know? And I actually feel very comfortable doing it, okay? And if I was able to do that originally, that's probably what I would have done.
Yes, and, I would say, sorry interrupting you, I would say you're suspiciously comfortable doing so, because such a leap.
I love it.
And it certainly made me again jump in, because there is still one question is not answered. Love for singing is absolutely so apparent, and it is truly, truly convincing. But there is a still much deeper transformation, because to feel yourself inside of the wall of the castle of all this incredible power of religious images and fantasies for that respect, and then to go suddenly in a public, very relaxed and comfortable environment, this is quite a journey. I'd like to hear a little bit more. What does it take? And what kind of a spice you have to put in this transformation?
Well, I think that, again, if you can sing and you love to sing, it doesn't matter, you know, if you go out in the public. And I have to be honest, like, singing in church was the thing that got me out there. But I know that even once, after my husband passed away, I got a job, and I worked with a very wonderful gentleman who loved to sing, and we'd go out, and he introduced me basically to karaoke, and I would sing away, and I got used to singing in public the cabaret songs, which I like to do anyway, you know, and And I've continued. I've gotten a lot of opportunities lately to sing in different places, which surprised me. But I just go and I do it, you know, and it just comes out natural. I mean, naturally, I have to make sure I know all the words or else I don't want to, you know, sound foolish. But it just happens. And as you say, I love to do it. I think if I had born in this day and age, I'd go for a singing career and I'd want to be an actress. That would be definitely what I wanted to do.
And I do not see much of a separation because once you are in genre of jazz and cabaret or any other popular movements, there is an acting element involved, which brings one experience, which I think happened relatively recently. You unexpectedly found yourself singing. I believe it was almost over 100 people. I think it was some kind of a distant relative's family celebration.
Yes.
And you came after some time not seeing certain people because of the death of your husband. And here you are, before anyone knew, you already been singing. Share this with us.
Well, I went to this party, and it was for a woman who was going to be... She had become 80 years old. I hadn't seen them in many years because they were on my husband's side of the family, and most of my husband's side are gone, you know. And so I got invited, which was very pleasant. And I went, and there must have been 200-300 people there. And when it came time for me to leave, because I had to go pick up my mother, I told the lady that, you know, I'm going to have to go. And she said, oh, wait, you mean you're not going to sing for us? And I said, well, you know, I didn't know what to say. So they went right up and told the gentleman who was on the guitar and the mic that I was going to sing. So I went up there, and I must say this woman is a phenomenal woman. She brought up 10 children, wonderful family she has. Everybody turned out so remarkable. And her husband had passed away, like, during the, you know, after the children were born, I guess, you know. I don't remember exactly. But what I was going to say is that I asked if I could just say something, and I turned and I said, I'd like to dedicate this song to my dear cousin, Jean. And I started to sing Unforgettable. Well, the crowd went crazy. They went crazy. So, I mean, it was something I didn't anticipate, but I did it. And that's why I say, you know, that strength, that ability to stand in front of so many strangers and people that you don't even know, and just let it go. And it just, my voice just flew out. I was so excited about it, you know? And I got such a wonderful reception, a standing ovation.
Well, this is one of those moments we talked before when literally speaking and singing is inseparable for you. You felt so much more comfortable expressing yourself through your voice and through your musical line rather than through your speaking line. I would suggest to continue your musical line with another song we have here, which called Someone to Watch Over Me, because after all, many people now watching over this program, your voice, your singing, your personality, and I cannot find a better song to continue our program with Susan Lachlan. And please enjoy this with me, after which we will continue our conversation.
Someone who walks over me. a key. Won't you tell him, please, to put on some speed? Follow my lead. Oh, how I need someone who watch over me.
Certainly been very comforted by this song, and it comes to mind some traditions of very intimate after hours exchange, and I feel that we don't have enough in our hectic times those experiences, exchanges. And certainly, my guest Susan Lachlan found this opportunity to bring this very great comfort, warmth, and I would say even more somewhat a bit of novelty, because again, her fluency in changing genre is so complementary to one another. I personally hear a little bit long line of church singing and some short recitativa in a cabaret jazz singing. So all of that makes it that much more beautifully comforting for the emotions, certainly for the wine we've been drinking and for enjoyment of food. And we certainly felt this environment, because besides Susan's singing, we heard some lovely visitors and the people who followed through her performances and followed through her musical career. We had a conversation briefly about being professional and being amateur, and I would say that in a sense, we don't really want to think or to be aware whether it's a professional voice or professional background, or it is just a genuine expression, genuine sharing, and genuine, very beautiful sincerity, which I believe Susan Lachlan feels when she sings. So I guess my another suggestion would be to talk about people you performed with and some memories which you have with the people who did accompany you. We heard a guitar player. Are they two different people? And what kind of a collaboration you had with these people?
Well, actually, the guitar player is Mr. Peter North, and he has been playing, I guess, for a very long time. And I just met him through the job, and we just talked one day, and at some point he just came and asked me if I'd like to sing with him. And that's the result, and I'm very appreciative of that, because it was like an opportunity that just came out of nowhere. And I really enjoyed it. And, you know, prior to that, I was always singing with an organist. And he was very instrumental in helping me, you know, learn all the church songs and practice with me with my music. And his name was Robert Sticca. And, you know, I have a great appreciation to him for helping me. But, you know, as I say, it's at this point in life, you know, I want to go forward and I'm not sure which direction I'm going to go in. And but if it's singing in some capacity, I'm thrilled. I'm absolutely thrilled. Because that last song that you just heard, a lot had to do with what happened with my husband towards the end of his life. And the day he passed away, and I don't want to get too dramatic, but when I came home from church, that's the music. The music that was on was I Took One Look at You, That's All I Had to Do, and then my heart stood still, and that's what happened. And after his funeral, which I sang, I put on a tape just to listen, and after that song, My Heart Stood Still, on came Someone to Watch Over Me, and it just had so much meaning, because, you know, that's where I'm at in my life, you know, but I'm watching over me, but God is there watching over me. Excuse me.
Well, I certainly like to not to miss an opportunity to talk to your another talent. I feel it's like a live talent. That's why I said that I like to talk to your another talent, because I have a little soft personal spot for that myself, and this is a decorative talent that you have. I feel that you can take just a little nothing and to do special something. And I have a very lovely gift from you, and that was somewhat quite original and very personal. I like to ask you, in terms of this interior decoration, how does it complement your life? Are you still doing that? And what is your most favorite shapes and images? And of course, what material do you use?
Well, I still do it in the sense that my own homes, you know, I've had to move several times. But I've done for a lot of people. I've done for friends, family of friends. You know, it's just something that developed, because when people come and they see, you know, what I do, they're like, oh, could you do that? And at one point I was selling frame reproductions and fine art prints. And when I'd go to someone's home, or I'd have like these little parties where people would get together, and I would show them the artwork that was in the catalog, and they'd say, well, I don't know. So I'd go to their home, and I'd look, and I'd say, all right, maybe I could create something for you. And I would, and they would absolutely love it. So, you know, it's something that has taken, it had its own form, too. It just came to life, just like the music and the artwork, you know, the decorating. I can look at something that's a total mess in a house and know exactly where everything has to go and how to make it look better. And I know that I was in real estate for a while, and I'd go into homes that were for sale, and I'd say, you know, this house would sell if they could do this, that, and the other thing. And I realized that that's what I really liked much better than just trying to sell a house. And I liked decorating it, and I liked, you know, staging it and stuff like that, you know. So that's kind of where the other talents came in, and I've utilized them so many times when I moved my mom from her house. Oh, God, she was there in many, many, I mean, maybe since the late 40s, early 50s. And it needed a lot to be done. But I staged it so beautifully that I had it sold within 2 weeks. So it's just, you know, that talent is right there. And I really and truly feel that art, singing, decorating, sewing, designing, it all is part of God's gift. And I think that many people who do sing have other talents. People who design have other talents. You know, it's not just a single thing. When you're creative, it spreads out in so many aspects.
Well, decoration is a totally live talent, because it's not a secret, especially when you're moving into the space which you mentioned. It's not only to cover empty walls, but you paint your own life. You certainly...
Exactly. And I have seen your decorating, which is beautiful. I can see your creativity. I saw it the moment I saw your home.
Thank you very much. It is a big difference between being in a house or being at home. So what you're suggesting is actually is a critical point to make people feel more at home with themselves.
And comfortable.
Very much so.
It's so important. But
we are coming to the last part of our program, and we certainly will have another song by Susan Buckland, who's my guest today, who's singing and true feeling of yourself is in singing. And it is particularly very important and almost unique to feel this way about something you enjoy to do the most. Because of our times, highly technical, extremely hectic, where technology sometimes tries to run our brains. And only music and art can prevent from becoming as a tool for those technology. So we need to stay on the top of it. We need to preserve this oneness, which I believe can be done extremely successfully and freely with art and music. And my guest today does share this conviction. So let's hear another song by Susan Buckland, and then she will tell us about this song.
Our little drama. We kissed in a field of wine. As the stars fell on the Alabama, it just cast my
done impromptu. That was when I performed with Peter North, the guitarist, and people wanted to hear more. So we had to kind of rush and put something together. We had never done that together before, and as you heard, you know, people liked it. And that's a really an old-timer, and I was like straining my mind to try to remember what the words were. But it was enjoyable, and as I say, if people enjoy what they're listening to, that means everything. You know? Well, I mean, it just makes you feel so good that people are listening to you and they're enjoying it, you know? And that was one of the things when I, as I told you, I worked after my husband passed away. The gentleman I worked with, he's a fabulous singer. And we did a great job with Unforgettable as a duet, you know? And it just was a lot of fun, a lot of fun.
Well, it is particularly special when you indeed singing with someone who is feeling and understanding where you're coming from and what is your tradition, what is your way of making those expressive moments. So it's that communication, human, spiritual, musical, is so endless and so, so special.
Yeah.
Well, we did come to the end of our program with another person who does find her peace, her inspiration, and endless joy. And her name is Susan Loughlin. And my last thought and question is the same. There is no doubt that you will continue singing, so there is no question there. But what is your wish? What is your, not much of a formal plans, but how would you like to continue to express yourself? In what genre of singing, if it is in church, or it is a cabaret, or maybe you want to rediscover yourself in some other new avenues?
To be honest, I love singing. It makes me happy, and I'll sing anywhere I can, wherever I can. I mean, I'm very indebted to Peter North, the guitarist, for giving me the opportunity to sing with him because, you know, that got me started, actually. And I'll go forward in any way I can, and singing is what's going to bring me forward, okay, because it comes naturally, and I just love it. It's no other words could express my feelings as far as singing. And it's just a happy thing to do. And I think if everybody would just, you know, get involved with singing and music, it's so therapeutic, as I said before, you know, in all aspects. You know, people who are older, people who are not well. It just is so dynamic. And I love doing it. And as I said, I've done weddings, I've done funerals. I've loved doing all of it. Okay, because my heart goes with it.
Well, as we all know, music and longevity are wonderful relatives. And there are numbers, endless amount of numbers, musicians who have very long life, I guess because God gave him or them energy, beauty, and, of course, such incredible freedom for self-expression. So right. We all wish you that continuation of freedom in your singing, other forms of creativity, and finding places to sing and to communicate with the world who you are and why you're so much enjoying that. I wanted to thank you for joining us with your life, with your art, with your music. And I would say, on this note, I have to conclude with my gratitude, as usually, to PBS, to people who allow to produce this another special program. And until next week, that was Lena Life. And I'm all the best.
Thank you.